Hey guys, welcome back to Talk with Torch. I have a special guest. Please introduce yourself.
Hey everyone, my name is Erica Dyer. I am an urban fiction author from Baltimore, Maryland. Hey.
Yes. So, Erica, I must say that this is one of the best urban novels I have ever read. I was just telling you right before we started. I absolutely love it. I finished it so quickly and I just couldn't wait to get the second part, and now I have it. I haven't started it yet, but I'm going to get right into it.
Yes. Thank you so much for the support. Like, I love your energy, first of all.
Oh, thank you. I love your energy. Girl, we was just chopping it up. So let's just get straight into it. Who is Erica Dyer?
Dyer is a Jane of all trades, first of all. I'm a mom, I'm a student, I'm a writer, I'm assistant director for a refugee housing program. I am just across the board, all over, 100% a Jane of all trades. I don't like to be stuck in a box. So this week I might be being an author. Next week I might be like, girl, I sell hair now. Like, I'm just about my bag. And secure in the bag and make sure I can provide for my kids. So I'm a little bit of everything.
Okay, that's what's up. You know, it's so good to just, you know, come across another Black strong female. I just love that, you know. Just like how you was telling me that you love my energy, I love your energy too. I respect it. I really, really
and then,
do.
Like, we just like formed together. Like, we were sitting behind each other and then it just was like.
Yes. Girl,
I really appreciate it. Like, it's like you said, it's not many. First of all, let me just say, it's a lot of Black women that's doing their thing right now. But you know, sometimes women can get catty, and sometimes women can be like, "Oh, I'm not gonna deal with her because I don't know her from back when we was in sandboxes." But to meet new people as you go on this journey, and like, the energy is amazing. I love it.
And you have to, because you have to go through changes. Like, you just have to. And I say that because I'm at a point in life where it's just like, if your energy is good, I'm fucking with you. And I'm not just fucking with you to be like, hey girl, let's go out to the club. I want to know, like, educate me on something I don't know.
Right.
Vice versa. Like, let's try to build, like, let's create something. Like, I don't know. That's just the space that I'm in and I'm loving it.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I feel like right now at this point, I'm definitely too old to be going to somebody's club. I'll be 33 September 19th.
Oh, your birthday's right around the corner.
Yes, Virgo season. But yeah, I had a friend who just brought like an 18-wheeler truck, and I'm like, damn, like that's the type. I wake up and just buy a truck.
Mm-hmm.
And be doing moving and hauling and something. Like, I want to be on that wavelength. Like, I don't want to wake up and go shopping. I want to go up and buy property, wake up and start businesses. Like, that's where I'm at right now.
Yes, invest into things that are going to be long-lived. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So, what was your thought process when you decided, hey, I'm going to create a novel that will have people begging for more? Because, girl, come on. Like, you know what you was doing with that book.
Like, I probably was writing about stuff I didn't even need to be writing about at 12. I started reading urban fiction novels when I was young. Like, I went through the whole Triple Crown production catalog. I went through the cartels. Like, I've been reading since I was really, really young. My first book that I ever read that I was like, this is it. Like, I want to do this was the book Push. It's been turned into a movie, Precious.
Mm-hmm.
So Precious came out the movie, it was a book, and when I say that book was like really detailed, like if you saw Precious and thought that was gross or like thought that was a lot, you had to read the book. So fast forward, I was working as a correctional officer. I was like, I'm gonna write a book one day, I'm gonna write it. I left the jail in 2013 and I started writing this book when I was in California. I was living in California, I was living with my aunt. I didn't have anything to do, I wasn't working, so I started writing. But as I was writing, I was like, nah, I can't put this out. Like, if I put this out, somebody getting indicted, somebody going to jail, I might get beat up. Like, I can't put this out.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the fear of this book took me 6.5, 7 years to actually put it out. But when I was writing it, I was just trying to focus on not so much my life, but I guess my personality. Like, for the most part, I am a good girl. Like, I went to school. I went to college. I did the whole, you know, good girl thing. But on the flip side, I've dated the drug dealers. I've dated the hood dudes. You know, my brother right now is currently in prison. Free for now. And then, I had a baby at 19. So, like, I was a good girl, but I had a few hood habits. And at first, the book, it went through a whole different name title. It was Bad Decisions at first. But I'm like, it's not a bad decision. It's just, this was the environment that I was in. Like, mm-hmm. my mom and dad cared for me, but it was like that hood love. Like, all right, I'm going to get you your Jordans and stuff, but we still on food stamps. You get what I'm saying? Like, it was always a up and a down type situation. So I've always been on both sides of the fence, I want to say. Like, I've been a good girl. Like, I went to school, got my degree, getting 2 more degrees, but I also eat oodles and noodles and hot dogs. Like,
right. You know, and I just love that raw shit. And the reason why, I'm going to double back on everything that you said. I just feel like we're just so in tune. Push was actually the first book that I read, like, as far as, like, urban novel.
Wow.
Yeah, so when you said that, I was like, wow, and I was about in the sixth grade.
Yeah, like, it was, I kid you not, I went to Barclay Elementary Middle School. I was in the sixth grade, I do believe, and it was in like a free book bin, and I don't think they realized that this book should not have been in this free book bin, and I just picked it up and started reading.
I was obsessed, and then from there I went to Fly Girl.
Yep. Fly Girl,
Seymour Cassidy. Yes. And you know, I had some other questions because I was gonna ask you if there was any type of relation to the characters in the book, and you did mention that you were a CO. But before I get into all of that, you know, I just love how you really like tapped in and was like, hey, listen, like, you know, I was like on both sides of the fence with it. And I feel like when you are in certain environments, it's certain things that, you know, you're adapted to and you just think that it's okay. I feel like, you know, growing up in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, like, I loved me a hood nigga. Like, I love that shit. But
listen, what are you telling? And I'm trying to get away from them, but they be coming.
Listen, girl, I'm married now, so that's out the way.
Look, I'm single.
You funny as hell. So what I was saying is, it's just that, you know, it was just like always something behind that demeanor that was just like so inviting. It's just like you just wanted more. Like, it was just, you know, like the swag and everything that comes with it. But the hardships that come behind that shit is no joke. And
absolutely.
And then also, like, I get it. Like, me too. I will fuck up some noodles in a second. Like, please. I will never be too good for that.
Yo, oodles and noodles, beans and Frankel, pork and beans and hot dogs. Like, I love it. Like, peanut butter and jelly. I can go to the most fanciest of fanciest, but I will come home and fuck up a peanut butter and jelly.
Yes. So, you know, networking creates amazing opportunities, and we met at the Money Making Sundays pop-up shop, and we had a real dope conversation on why it's important, you know, for us to support one another. And we were talking about it a little while, but I feel like it's really a good space to be in when you know that you're secure within yourself. In order for you to have these conversations, to be like, listen, let's work on this. Or, hey, girl, you know about the seminar? Let's try to do something together.
All right. Absolutely.
You know,
I want to know something. Mm-hmm. I think this pandemic, although it has been very gruesome, like, I think it has brought more of the positivity out of the networking, of the, oh, what are you selling? Oh, what are you, let's link, more passive income. Like, it's been one hell of a year, but I want to say, like, I released the first one December 5th of 2020. Like, because I was just home. Mm-hmm. Like, not home. Yeah, but at home, yeah. We were already in the pandemic or whatever, and it was just like, well, nobody else doing nothing. I'm not doing nothing. I'm just sitting in front of this computer. Let me get this book out here. Like, I really, in my opinion and in my life, I can't speak on no one else. Like, the pandemic kind of helped me because it set me down from working 2 and 3 jobs, from being, in school, all in the campuses and stuff, and it really helped me zone into what I believe is my purpose, which is writing.
And you're a damn good writer.
Thank you.
You're a damn good writer. So, so tell me, I know you said that you were CEO and I said I was going to circle back, but does this book have any relevance to your life at all? And if so, can you give us some insight? What's so, tea, sis?
I will say I know people who have done some of the things that are written in the book. As far as me personally, I would say it's some bits and pieces throughout the whole book that is me. So each female character is a bit of a personality of mine.
Understand.
Like, the family-oriented one, Ebony, I want kids. Like, I want more kids. I have one son. He's 13. But I want the husband, and I want the more kids. Lay, the naive one, when she first started, that was me. Like, I started working at the jail when I was 19. Like, I was green and shit. Like, I didn't know nothing. It was just, like, a whole new world for me. And then Keisha, that's my schoolgirl one. Mm-hmm. Like, she's about her thing. I went to law school for a year, and, like, that wasn't for me. I was not going to sit there for another 4 years to end up a public defender. That just was not my journey. But I want to say there's a piece of me in each one of the females as far as personality traits. As far as getting grimy and doing some of the things that they did, I personally know people who did it. Mm-hmm. When I was working in the jail. I ain't gonna say it was me. I plead the fifth.
Right.
Y'all not about to see me on the next episode of 48 Hours.
I definitely get it. I definitely get it. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that, And I absolutely love how you gave insight on what goes on in the prison system. Like, I really don't want you to give away too much details because I want the listeners to actually go and purchase the books.
Okay.
But for those who never been in the system or dated or had family in the system, they wouldn't get it. And it's very much real. It's very, very much real. And a lot of people, they're naive. And when they read your book, they're going to be like, wow. But if they tap into people who was in the streets and yeah. What it's like, that's just like, oh shit, that ain't nothing new.
Right. And I think some people, when you become a correctional officer and you tell your friends or you tell your family or people find out, I think they forget that you are still human. Like, you're still gonna make mistakes. If you were brought up in an environment where crime was always around you, like, just because you wear that badge, it's not gonna change. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with Baltimore, but I lived on Greenmount Avenue. The jail that I worked at was on Greenmount Avenue, just was further down the street. Like, it was people that watched me grow up because they were friends of my dad, or people I used to hang with at my house because they were friends of my brother, or, friends of my child's father. Like, I can't stop who I am because I'm a CO. Like, when I became a CO, it was just a means to an end because I had a baby at 19 and they were paying me a good salary, with just a high school diploma. Like, I'm still going to be me. I'm still human. And you can get sucked up into that world, especially if, like I said, when I first walked in there, I was a little naive. Like, I had never been behind bars. I had never been inside of a jail. I think at that time I may have visited my brother maybe once or twice, but mm-hmm. I was a visitor. Like, I never been on the side where doors are closing. So it was like, I was like aerial out of water. It was brand new.
Yeah.
A whole new world to me.
Now, like I was telling you earlier, Bishop and Keisha is my favorite characters. I know that you were kind of telling me a little bit about part two. I'm going to start that shit tonight, like I told you. And then me and you can have another conversation outside of this. But I just love that. And you know, I guess call it toxic, but I love a man that wants to make sure I'm okay. And by any means, it's like, I got you. Like, I don't want nobody looking at you. Is that toxic?
I don't know. I think that is a little toxic. Like, but is it a such thing as a good toxic?
I know, but it's just something about it. Like, when I started reading up, like, his character and shit, I was like, oh, nah. Like, he's fire.
Right. So listen, I've never had a guy like that. Like, mm-hmm. I've never dated a guy like that. But I've read about him. And all, you know, your urban fiction novels, it's that one guy that's like, he, you can imagine how he walks. You probably could imagine how he smells. And he is that, get over here, don't play with me, like, I shoot this whole club up type guy. And I'm like, as much as, you know, I'm grown and I probably shouldn't be dealing with guys like that. Like, I want that. And it's not so much as his actions of, like, violence or whatever. It's the need to make sure I'm protected.
By any means. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's attractive.
It really is.
And, you know, it's important to be able to have a strong black man on your side, but also have something to bring to the table. And that's why I like their dynamic. Like I said, I'm not really gonna give away too much of the book, but I just like how you put that all together, you know?
Yeah, like, all my books, moving forward, it'll always be, like, a woman on her shit, like, because I've been a woman on my shit. Like, I started working when I was 12. Like, we used to have a daycare center in my middle school, and I used to work there under the table for $20 a week. Like, every woman in all my books, unless, like, they wanted a bum that I'm talking about, will have that strong background that I bring the table, I don't need your table type characteristic personality thing going on.
And I love that. I started working when I was 14. So a lot of people, they can't relate to that, but I feel like it just grounds you for who you are as a person, you know? And yeah. I just love that. And also, with the characters, with Bishop and Keisha, you know, I feel like if the genuine chemistry isn't there, you're not going to want to make that effort. And I feel like because she's seen how he was and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
they both were serious and they committed.
Yeah.
And
like, when I was writing their part, I was like, I know what I want him to be like, but the crazy thing is a lot of the characters, I wrote the guy's part first. Like,
okay.
I don't know why I can relate. Well, not really, but I can get their parts done out of the way. Maybe because women are more like an onion, like more layered, like you gotta peel back and peel back. But his like, when I wrote him, I was like, well, if he's this alpha male, this king that he is, because in my mind, like, me and Bishop are married at this point, but if he's this alpha male, he's gonna need this woman, you know, to compliment him. So that, like, that's how I got. And then, like I said, Keisha has a little bit of me in her, like, with the school thing. I'm still in school. I'll probably be in school until they put dirt on my coffin. It's like, oh, I can get that degree. Oh, let me get that degree. So yeah, that's how I came up with Miss Keisha.
And, you know, regardless of how you lived your life before the person came in it, like, again, with that whole dynamic, you know, you have to decide to change for the good or continue with the bullshit. And a lot of real individuals would definitely relate and adapt to that dynamic because we see it a lot. And to tap back in, like I was saying, like, yeah, you know, like, I love a strong alpha man. That's what I love. And yes, I was like, it's toxic, but not like, don't go and shoot no fucking club up. But it's just about that safety, that person that's just like, listen, like, I got you. And to know that, you know, I'm in a situation with someone who I love and it's just like, I got you. I'm reading a book and I'm just like, this shit, girl. Page after page, I'm like.
No, I really appreciate that. Because, like, when I was writing it, mind you, my support system consists of my mom and my 13-year-old. And I'm like, y'all, I'm pretty sure my son probably knows too much. But I'm like, is this too strong? Like, y'all think, you know, people going to be offended? Like, let me see. And my son was like, Ma, no, do it. Like, just put it out there. Like, they either gonna love it or they gonna hate it. So for it to come out and people really like it and they understand it, and I'm just like, wow, like, I never in my wildest dreams imagined me to be an author with this type of book out.
And your son, you know, shout out to your son and your mom. I met both of them at the pop-up shop. And I just feel like, you know, I see how you and your son, like, your son, he's right there by your side and he got you. Like, and for him to be at such a young age and he's saying to you, like, you know, just, like, put it out. It's true, because regardless, it's always going to be somebody that's just going to be like, oh, no, this is not my taste. But that's their business, because there's always going to be other individuals who's going to gravitate. They're going to understand and they're going to love it, because what you create, a lot of people can't do that. A lot of people can't create such an amazing project where it's like page after page. Like, you can't wait to friggin' turn the next page. And when the book is done, it's just like, fuck. Cause I swear I was so mad.
I was like, I got a couple people like, what happened? Like, where the rest of it? Like, I need the next part. I need the next part. And that was another reason why, like, I kind of put it out kind of fast. Like, so the first one came out December 5th. The second one came out Mother's Day, and the third one comes out in December.
Yes. So
get ready for that one. So, like, I'm trying to make sure, you know, all my readers are excited and they still, you know, rocking with me. So I don't want to be like, you know, some authors wait 1 or 2 years to have you sitting on pens and needles. You done forgot about the book. Got to go back and read it. So I want to make sure you guys are happy and you get the answers that you need to all the questions from part one.
You're on a great path. And I know that you're going on a book tour, or has it started yet?
So it has. So far this summer, we have been to North Carolina. We've been in New York. We were in New York for like a whole weekend. We are going to Virginia September 18th. And then we're back in Coney Island on October 9th. And then also on October 9th, I'm doing a virtual book fair or book festival in D.C.
Okay, that's dope. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
When are you coming to Georgia, though? I need details.
Listen, you tell them come get me. Now, I'm actually just coming there for the Millennium Tour in October, but I want to do a pop-up shop there. You gotta plug me in.
Okay, so you know what? All right, so we're definitely going to have a conversation after this. Yes. We're definitely going to have a conversation after this, because, girl, they need that book. They need that book.
I'm coming.
We're gonna definitely have that conversation.
Okay.
So, congratulations on everything.
Thank you.
I'm super proud of you.
Listen, I've been on your site. I'm about to put in this order because the glasses is high. I definitely gotta get a pair down.
Thank you.
No problem. I was like, oh no, I gotta get these. And I was trying to get them so I can get them in time for my birthday.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I leave too late.
Well, let's talk after.
Gotcha.
Let's talk after, because this is not about me right now. It's about you, because I'm going to be honest with you, Erica. Like I said, from the moment we had a conversation and we were just conversing, I was just like, nah, she's dope. I was like, I need this book. And I just fell in love with the book. And like I said, you know, we don't really know each other like that, but we're growing like a business relationship. And I'm just super proud of you. I'm just super proud to see another Black woman just doing her thing. And just to know that you have like this goal mine, you've created something that I feel like even at this point, you know that you're good, but you can't see it from the outside looking in like, girl, this shit is fire.
And you want to know something? Listen, like, I want to say I'm probably the most humblest person ever. Like, when I get the comments, like, oh, my gosh, you're so good. You're so great at it. Like, I take it in, but I don't know how to accept it yet. Because I'm like, okay, you just saying it. Like, I'm learning how to accept the compliments. I'm learning, even with my job, like, my full-time job. Like, I just got a promotion. I've only been working here since March. I went from a case manager to assistant director.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm learning how to embrace it and accept it and not, like, be bashful and be like, oh, no, it's okay. Like, I hate, like, the thank yous and the I don't hate it. It's just I got to get used to it.
Well, when you have something great and you're doing something really well, you got to get used to that. And girl, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to get used to it, because the more people tap in with this, you're really going to be irritated with the thank yous and the you're amazing, because you are.
Thank you, thank you, thank you
You
so
are.
much.
So explain, why is it important to stick to your creative ideas without allowing other opinions to shift your mindset?
That's a lot. I would say stick to your creative ideas. Like, you never know. Like, your story or your product or whatever you're doing might be the thing someone else needs. Like, I feel like my book was something someone needed to see. Like, you know, when I wrote the book, I was thinking of correctional officers. Like, we get back then at that time, we were getting called everything under the sun but a child of God. And I feel like somebody needed to read the book, whether one person buy it or a million people buy it. Someone needed to hear that. Like, I'm going to always root for the underdog, write for the underdog, cheer for the underdog, help the underdog. Like, stick to whatever you are doing, whether, like I just said, I'm a Jane of all trades. If you want to write a pamphlet today, but then you want to go march on Washington tomorrow, do that. Do what makes you feel happy. Don't worry about what nobody else got to say, because whether you do it or you don't, if they want to talk, they are going to talk.
Oh, you just put that all together like that. Okay, Miss Erica. Just again, thank you so much for allowing me to interview you and just to have you on my platform. It means the world to me, because I'm glad I got this, because girl, when you blow up, I might not be able to be in contact.
No, never that. Like, everyone who's been rocking with me from day one, like, when I go out, we going up. Listen,
I like that.
they're
I
gonna
like
give
that.
somebody talk show, and they're gonna be like, why do you got the whole audience filled with people? Listen, they brought the book when I didn't even believe in myself, and they believed in me, so we all coming.
Yes, I love it. Yes, girl, put that energy out there. I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
Please let the audience know where they can keep up with you on social media, love.
Okay, sure. So my Instagram is Erica_Reeds_. That's ERICAREADS _. My Facebook is just my name, Erica. So it's Erica twice. I have a Twitter, but I don't know the handle of it. I'm right there with Twitter. I think I have like four followers. Once it gets on and popping, I'll remember it. But right now, Instagram and Facebook is your best bet. I'm also, if you want to like book me for anything, events or anything like that, or if you just want to reach out to me, my email address is themdyerkids@gmail.com. That's themdyerkids@gmail.com. And my website, which has all this information on it, just in case you forget it, is ericareeds.com.
Yes, thank you so much,
Thank you for having
Miss
me.
Erica. Yes, thank you so much. So this was Talk with Torch. Later, y'all.